Two people, one movie, so many opinions. Welcome to The Mandate.
What's up, Mandators? It's your host, John Wren. I'm back with another quick turnaround. I think I'm like 3 for 3 now. This is episode 43, and I get with my longtime friend, Ken Miller, who I know as Metal Ken from many years ago. And we check out the new or the latest and probably worst film of the entire X-Men series, also known as Dark Phoenix. A couple days ago, I put out a feeler on my Facebook and asked if I knew anyone that happened to be an X-Men Apocalypse apologist, figuring that no one thought that that movie was good. Ken, on the other hand, did. So naturally, I had to have him on this episode to not only see Dark Phoenix, but also defend Apocalypse. We start off the episode, he gets into it a little bit, explains why he thought Apocalypse wasn't as bad as everyone else thinks it is. And he also explains his connections to the Dark Phoenix saga and basically how that storyline got him into comics in general. It's an interesting, you know, revelation. I think it's the first time I've ever heard that the Dark Phoenix storyline was specifically the storyline that got people in the comics. A lot of times you hear that it's like Spider-Man or the Death of Superman or even like Ultimate Avengers or even the Infinity Gauntlet. But, you know, X-Men is huge, so it's not really too much of a surprise that the X-Men were something that brought someone on board. So he explains his expectations, or I shouldn't say expectations, his hopes for the film. Naturally, after the film, we dissect it. A bit surprising, not for me, but more for him, how this plays out. There's no going around it. It's one of the worst comic book films I've seen. Super lazy, if I have to describe it, you know, really quickly. So keep listening, obviously, and you'll hear us break this down in depth, why we thought this film played out the way it did and why we thought what we did. Sorry for Ken for having his, you know, dreams crushed a second time, because if you all recall, X3 was also the Dark Phoenix saga. So we're 0-2 on that storyline. So hopefully they abandon it forever. Well, I don't have much more to say. I'll leave some links for Ken's current music and artistic stuff that he explains in the episode, in the written portion. So if you want to check that out, if you're interested, you know, we're always, and then obviously share all this stuff with your friends. So without further ado, this is episode 43 of The Mandate with Dark Phoenix with Ken Miller. All right, so here we are, episode of The Mandate with Mr. Ken Miller. Yo. Ken, explain to the world who you are, what you do, what bands, what is up with in the world of Ken Miller?
Well, artist, bassist, graphic designer. So most recently I was in Eaten Alive. That ended, you know, our guitarist Max passed away.
R.I.P. Max Moya.
Huge comic fan, by the way. Me and him used to trash talk all the DC films before practice. But aside from that, artist, I'm a painter. You can check me out on Instagram, Facebook, at Violent Visual. Other than that, man, just life.
There you go. So, interesting enough, we are seeing X-Men Dark Phoenix, if they're even calling it X-Men Dark Phoenix. It might just be called Dark Phoenix.
I think it's just Dark Phoenix.
So I made a post the other day online to see who ended to come see this, and I wanted an X-Men Apocalypse apologist. And Ken here says he likes the movie, whereas I hate the movie. And you can read about my review on Cinepunks. I'll link it in this thing. But I trashed the movie. Ken, defend Apocalypse.
So by all counts, or is it accounts? I asked somebody this today if it's accounts or counts. But either way, I should hate this film. That being Apocalypse. I love Days of Future Past, love First Class. And Apocalypse, I went in with high hopes and with low expectations, high hopes. Was not disappointed. I think ultimately the film got me with the look of the characters, the way that they portrayed the mutant abilities, and that Quicksilver scene where he saves everybody from the explosion just blows me away in the same way that the...
Well, he's both his scene in that and in Days of Future Past are like the scene stealers.
Right. And they're essentially the same thing. It's just slowing down time and him moving everybody around. It's like the same gimmick they got me with. Was the story good? No.
So my thing with Apocalypse was I felt you could, watching the movie, you could see that it felt rushed. Like anyone that's not in the Disney, like Marvel universe right now, it seems like they have no idea what they're doing with their franchises. DC specifically has no idea what they're doing with their franchise. I think they got rid of Henry Cavill as Superman. Like, they're on their like 18th Batman. You know, they don't know who they want to lead. Like, is this movie connected to the DCEU? Is this part of the Justice League story? Is this just a standalone thing? Like, this Joker movie is like it's by itself. But I think Fox had the same issue with the X-Men stuff. I think First Class was excellent. It's probably my favorite of all of the X-Men stuff, even over the first X-Men, which is still really enjoyable. It's a bit dated, but I think it's still a solid movie. Days of Future Past is one of my favorite comic book stories ever. And I think they got like the essence of it. I think the Rogue Cut, which we talked about briefly when we were at dinner tonight, is a better representation, or it was a better movie to fit that Days of Future Past, like the pedestal that the comic was on. With Apocalypse, I felt like they were Marvel world was getting to Thanos. And Fox was like, shit, we need to get to our big baddie too. And so they rushed in Apocalypse. Like, Apocalypse was like, from what I remember, in the limited amount of X-Men stuff that I read, Apocalypse was like the guy. Like, no one was, like, he was their Thanos or their Darkseid. Like, that was, so when they got to it, like, I didn't feel like he was, one, I know that when they first showed him in the trailer, everyone was like, what the fuck is that? That looks awful. And then they redid the trailer so that he looked better for the movie. And so, I mean, yeah, he looked kind of better, but like, I still think he looked like shit. And I love Oscar Isaac. I think he's a great actor. As you said, like, I think some of the characters were captured, like Psylocke, like Olivia Munn looked like the comic. She was born to play that role. I do like Sophie Turner as a young Jean Grey. I didn't mind Famke Janssen playing the older Jean Grey. Same thing with the kid from, I can't remember his name, but he's in Ready Player One that plays Scott, right. Cyclops.
Yeah, I don't know his name either.
And even the young Storm. I thought they all looked, like you said, like I thought the looks were good. Quicksilver was, again, the scene stealer. But they fucked him up later, too. Like, when Magneto was, like, in the, like, that vortex of, like, metal, and he was, like, trying to, like, run up the steps to, like, stop him. Like, even that looked, like, really wonky. Like I think when they just do him, and it's only him, and they focus on that, like, slowing down time stuff, like, they nail it. But, like, after that, trying to show his speed, like, it looks, you can tell that it's not him. It's an animation.
Right.
And it felt like they rushed through it. And Apocalypse, for me, if anyone's read my review, I was just like, this movie's trash. And when we went and saw it in the theaters, the critic screening, there was only like maybe like 20 or 30 people, and it was like in a huge theater. Like, I think they expect a lot of people, and like no one cared and went to it. So it is funny that you like, you're like the one person I know who's like, yeah, I like that movie. So, yeah,
and I think I'm the only person excited to see Dark Phoenix.
Okay, so explain, like, so I know a little bit about the production, like, issues with Dark Phoenix. What from, because obviously we only know that they're revisiting the Dark Phoenix story that was what X3 was, The Last Stand. What from the trailer has excited you about this? Or is it just a continuation of the cast from the previous films?
Probably just Sophie Turner. I think just her from the trailer, she looks badass, and I think a lot of that is going to carry over from
her Sansa.
In Game of Thrones. I've only seen the trailer once, so I can't say that there's anything that's jumping out that's grabbing me. I'm just excited because of what this film is and what the X-Men films as a whole have been. The X-Men, I mean, this is like everybody's going to say this, like the X-Men got them into reading comics.
Yeah.
I jumped in at the Dark Phoenix saga story. It was being reprinted in Classic X-Men. And I remember when I was a kid, as an artist, I was drawing everything that I could. And I got into comics because I just wanted something else to draw. So I got how to draw comics the Marvel way. Started, you know, watching that, had the book, drawing from that. Some of the characters in there were X-Men. I started looking these characters up. Where did all these characters come from? Oh, they came from the X-Men book. So I went into a comic book store, started buying X-Men comics. And it was like, I don't remember the issue of Classic X-Men, but it was a reprint of issue one. It's like 129 or 130. It was the second issue because I remember I had to go back and get the issue before it.
For the Dark Phoenix saga.
For the Dark Phoenix saga. Are you familiar with the story itself in the comics?
It's like surface stuff.
She gets some radiation. Her powers become enhanced from the previous mission, and they become enhanced in the first half of this storyline, and then she just changes. The X-Men fight her. They get defeated. Not going to spoil everything. I don't think the movie's going to have anything to do with any of this.
Judging from the trailer, it looks like that they're nailing at least how she... Like, I did know that she, it was some sort of a radiation that changed her. It got, like, infected her, so to speak. And it looks like from the trailer, they're doing that right. Because in the original one, she sacrifices herself at the end of X2 in the with the water.
Right.
With the dam flowing. Right. So, like, she just, you know, basically got, like... She got a really bad concussion, and it changed her in for X3. So this one is looks like it's a little bit more true to form, at least in that respect,
to
the comics.
And then there's a lot more off-world stuff in the comics where she goes, devours a sun, and destroys this I think it's the Shi'ar homeworld in the process. And later she has to go. After the story of the Dark Phoenix is resolved, she has to go and face trial for what she did, I was just like X-Men. Like from there, it's just like X-Men, and so that was like the classic storyline. It was the reprints that I started picking up. I didn't even know. I was just like buying these things, and I found out that they were reprints. And Uncanny X-Men was what I should be. Collected, so I started picking those up.
That's where it's
like branched out from there. You know?
That's where I kind of got into it, like late into the Uncanny X-Men. I went back and bought all the trades so I could catch up.
Right.
So much on the Uncanny stuff.
And they've hit all these stories, like Days of Future Past. You said, I mean, I agree. It's one of my favorite comic book movies. Right before Avengers Endgame came out, I started ranking them just because I was bored. I started ranking like my top 50. I just pulled up a list and started rearranging these things. And I had to put Days of Future Past in the, like, I don't know if it made the top five. I think if I combine Infinity War and Endgame as number one, Days of Future Past makes it into the top five.
Higher than First Class?
I liked it better than First Class.
Wow. It's a hot take, I think.
But again, it's because it's more of what that story meant to me. And maybe it's a good thing that I didn't reread Days of Future Past right before I saw the movie. I didn't reread Dark Phoenix before I saw that. I watched the other three X films before today. I probably should have took the time and reread the comic, but I didn't because I don't have faith that it's going to be very close to the comic at all.
I would say reread it after.
Right.
So my issue with this and why my expectations are low and I like almost like begrudgingly am seeing this tonight is that I know that the production of this has been kind of like awful. Like it's been documented that they've done reshoots that they like, and this is almost like there's almost no energy coming out of the studio. And like now I understand that Fox is in the middle of a they are bought out, but they're in the midst of like transferring everything over to Disney, and so maybe that's why they're out of it. But I know that they make a profit no matter if they sell one ticket or a million tickets, because Disney's already bought like everything, and they get the money from this. So But the thing is, like, my thing is two things strikes against it. One, the production seemed to be awful with all the reshoots and rescheduling, and they didn't know if they were going to release it at all, and this, that, and the other thing. And then also, it's a revisit to a story we've already seen. Now, granted, it's probably going to be closer to the movie in regards of what the actual plot is, like how does she become the Dark Phoenix and all that stuff. But what I'm curious is, how does this fit into the timeline? Because with the introduction of Days of Future Past, which I thought was also a little fast to get that storyline in there, but they, because I'm like, we just had three movies with this cast. Why are we rushing to get? And we just had one really, really solid movie in First Class with these new X-Men, a bunch of X-Men that we're not really familiar with, which is good because we didn't need to see Wolverine and Storm and all that stuff. I think if Days of Future Past was a third film and they built the relationship of these younger first X-Men, it might have been a little bit better. But I'm wondering, now that they did Days of Future Past and they've introduced the fact that it's in the universe with the Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen's, like, their world, how does this one happen and then not the one that was X3? Like, and maybe they'll cover it. Maybe they'll show how, like, this one cleans the slate of that and, like, ignores it because of something that they did in Apocalypse or Days of Future. There'll be a way to say, hey, we rewrote that story. Unfortunately, it happened earlier. Or maybe they say that, like, oh, she was the Dark Phoenix once. We defeated her, and it's a suppressed thing. And that thing that happened for X3 was her getting her head jostled, and it came back out. Like, I'm just curious on how it's going to fit into the scheme, or if it's just going to, or they just said fuck it, and they decided to, you know, shoot the story again because they were like, ah, that was a good story. Let's try to get it right this time. So I'm with the how awful I thought Apocalypse was, and some of the production and just general lack of interest from the studio that I've seen, I think this is gonna be like the worst one, like, by far. Like, it's not like there'll be parts that I'll be like, oh, that was cool and that was interesting, but when, like, as a completed work of an hour and a half or 2 hours, however long this film is, I think that I'm gonna go, well, I saw it and that's about where I'm at with it. Like, I have a feeling when we come back to this at the end of the recap version, I'm gonna be like, well, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Maybe you'll be stoked. At least we'll get, you know, half of our time. So before we go in, one final, you know, quick prediction. Do you think it's gonna be good or not? Not that you hope it's gonna be good. Do you think it's gonna be good?
I think it'll probably be terrible.
Okay.
I'm the only person excited to see it. It's probably gonna be terrible. But I will come out of it and say Sophie Turner was awesome.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I just think it's going to be terrible all around. So maybe we'll get, you know, that Sophie Turner was good. All right, well, we'll be back in 30 seconds. You stick around. All right, so we are out of seeing Dark Phoenix. And to clarify, it doesn't say X-Men in the title. And my man Ken here has notes. For the first time in the history of the mandate, there are notes.
There's not a lot of notes.
So, you know the rules. Pass the buck first. Ken, what were your thoughts on Dark Phoenix?
I'm going to just start off by defending Apocalypse. Apocalypse looks great now, right?
Yeah, Apocalypse looks like an Oscar picture after seeing this. But let's dissect it a little bit.
So that was like... like, you know how when you're going to fail the project, but you hand it in anyway? Like, you know what? Here, I admit, this is bad.
Yeah.
Give me the grade.
Yeah.
This is pretty bad.
Well, my thing is like, you take out of the context, you just look at the plot. Like, I don't see the point of this movie.
I don't either.
Like, we were... And I feel like there was people behind us in the theater that were also saying, like, what the hell did this, what purpose did this serve?
I could hear people groaning.
I could hear people laughing at certain parts that weren't meant to be funny. And I could hear people, like, audibly groaning at, like, oh, you're really going with this route? I feel like there's a part of me that believes that some of the Apocalypse and even Days of Future Past stuff got ruined by the fact that they put the like the weight of the series on Jennifer Lawrence's shoulders. I think they really wanted her in these movies so badly after she like took off after the first one,
right,
that in order to keep her around, they were like, we're going to do something big with you. And in this one, like, yeah, and you see it in the trailer, so like it's not even really a spoiler. If you can put anything together from looking at the trailer, you get what happens with her character, and you pretty much understand that it happens pretty quickly. Even her makeup looks shitty in this. Yeah. Like, it feels like they were just like, okay, we have to wrap this up. You only need to be on the set for a couple days. We'll get you out of here. You can go off and fucking make your Oscar movies and do what you got to do.
She only does the changeover like once. In the previous films, it was like every 5 minutes, they had special effects, glitter, changes but like, into normal.
But I'm gonna have to go home and like look at the progression of her makeup, because I feel like in the first movie she had a lot more like scales, for lack of a better term. Yeah. And in this one, she's just kind of painted like, blue. They just kind of painted her face blue, and
they got
really
somebody from Booze and Pancakes to do her.
So,
her body paint.
So I'm getting, like, from a lot of it that there's, like, man, like, whoever put the, like, the reshoots might have actually messed this up, because there was a lot of, like, I got the plot, like, all right, some sort of, like, radiation, starburst, energy, whatever it is, Jean's able to absorb it, and it makes her the most powerful thing in the universe, or at least on Earth. And there's this mystery race of like tree people. They look like Groots in the dark, that can take human form, that are looking to get it to harness it for their purpose, like to recreate their planet on, like, terraform Earth into their planet, which is a plot that's been done about 700 million times.
No deep explanation.
Yeah.
Like, real quick, like a minute of dialogue, like, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. And it's like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, and then they show, like, oh, Jean, you can do this thing. And then they never really revisit the fact that Jean can do, like, they present it as, you can do this great thing. You can create life. And they never really revisit that. They just kind of, like, use her as a weapon, so to speak. And then they try to take the weapon from her. There were some action sequences that were, like, that didn't make, like, it gave, like, I felt like it was like, okay, we know that this is the last movie with all these people, so let's give everyone their beat. So, like, Beast got to jump around and, like, grab people with his feet, and Nightcrawler was able to, like, you know, zip around, and they didn't really let Quicksilver do, like, his thing too much.
They started to, and then Jean kind of stops them.
Yeah.
They still hit the abilities. It's like, they know what they're doing when it comes to the abilities. They know the cool shit that Magneto can do with metal.
Yeah.
They know that Quicksilver can... They make it look like he stops time, but he's running fast.
Yeah.
And the shit, the cool stuff that they do with that. Beast, like you said, jumps around. But it's almost like a greatest hits album for bands like Lesser Material after they hit their moment.
Yeah, it's the second best of
thing.
And you're like, well, this song was on that TV show.
It's like the last two Ozzy Black Sabbath albums that you don't really talk about.
Yeah. So it gives everyone their send-off. But this was really just like a pointless film. Like, we discussed, and we were just discussing this when we were walking back with Josh and Milani, like, and we said in the beginning thing, I was curious on how they were going to end this, like, or were they going to rewrite? Were they going to acknowledge that this was clearing the slate for X3? Because now I'm even more confused, because at the end of Days of Future Past, which is back into this time in the 2010s or whatever, Wolverine sees Jean, and Jean's like confused, like, why would you think I'm dead or something like that? And now she's actually dead, and it's 1992. So did that just screw up the timeline? This movie screwed up, like, the continuity that they were going for, like, completely. Because if the Jean Grey, the Famke Janssen Jean Grey, is supposed to be alive in the 2000s, as per the end of Days of Future Past, she's now just vanished because she died in 1992.
Right.
So Wolverine's all fucked up now. No wonder Hugh Jackman's not part of the series anymore, because his character's not going to know what to do.
A whole lot of people are going to be not part of this series anymore.
Well, that's the one thing. So we were walking out, and one of the ladies was like, someone needs to get a hold of this. And like the hope now is that Disney finally has control of this. I'm sure they're going to be put to bed for a while, because they're not going to want to revisit.
Right.
Because you can't reboot right now.
Right afterwards. So, unless you're DC.
Yeah, DC doesn't give a shit. But Marvel's a little bit smarter than that, so it's probably going to be at least, I'm going to say, like, within 5 years before we see the X-Men again. And so hopefully at that point, Disney has a team of writers that can write something that makes sense and falls within continuity of something. With this introduction of the multiverse that Spider-Man's supposed to have, maybe that'll be able to pull in a better cast from another universe into our universe. One of the other things I noticed, like, I like Sophie Turner a lot. She should just speak with an English accent.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, when the person was talking in the beginning of the film, I was like, wait, is that her?
Yeah.
And then there was like, but I was like, it sounds American. And then when she says certain words, you can hear did you see the videos of her and Maisie Williams like talking like other characters on Game of Thrones? It sounded like her doing her Ned Stark, like at certain times, like the way she like drew out some of her like her words. And I was like, ugh, I'm like, give it some time, because you don't really do the American accent. She'll probably be able to nail it because she was kind of close, but at the same time, you could also hear that she's not American. So it was a little weird. Let's go with some of your notes.
The plot here, and going into this, I forget if I said this prior to. I didn't have the expectation this was going to follow the comic whatsoever. But it's like they had the ingredients of the story and just threw them in a blender and got what came out. Like the space part was there, and like the battle with Jean was there. It just didn't make sense. Like the dialogue was atrocious in this. And it was like torture just listening to them talk.
Yeah.
When they finally got to a battle, even though the battles were not good, it was like, okay, at least like I can see some cool special effects.
Yeah, I'm getting some eye candy here.
But it was just like so bad.
Yeah.
And the Dark Phoenix saga, the comic was more of a love story about Jean and Scott, and I felt like this was still dragging out that stuff with Raven / Mystique and Hank.
Yeah.
Because at the end of that, you feel the emotion in that storyline more than Jean and Scott.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, because they revisit it twice, because you have there's three people that, you know, really, really cared for Raven. You have Charles, Hank, and Magneto. So you had to deal with all three of them, you know, going over it, and then revisiting, like, we need to do what Raven did. And it's, again, this is like, I feel like they put so much emphasis on, like, this has to be in like Jennifer Lawrence's like contract, that she's like got to be a focal point of these movies. And I think it's unfortunate, like, she's a great actress and she kind of phoned it in this one, but I mean, she's not in the movie that long.
She's not the only one.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a second, but like it's another one of those things, like, I'm like, Mystique, to me, from what I remember, I'm sure she had her comics. I'm sure she had her moments within the comics, but I never felt like she always seemed like a side character to me, or like, and she worked as a side character when it was Rebecca Romijn and the other ones.
Right.
She was the henchman, you know, the one that got shit done.
Yeah.
And to change her character completely, make her, you know, a heroine and make her like a focal point. Like, I felt like they ruined it.
Yeah.
But back to phoning stuff in, James McAvoy is to me like one of the best actors out there today. And I feel like he must have like shot this like right when he came, like some of his reshoots, if he's even in the reshoots, but I felt like some of this must have been shot right around the time he did Glass. One, he's fucking jacked. And two, some of his like emotional delivery really reminded me of one of the personalities from Glass and Split. And I can't remember. It's like there's two main ones. There's Patricia and, oh, Dennis. The way he said certain things when he got like emotional and he like kind of bit down a little bit, I'm like, oh man, all I hear is Dennis coming out. Like, you are here for a greater purpose. Like, I just feel like I'm like at some time he's going to snap and go, it's got paprika in it. Like, I was waiting for, like, so it's, but the one thing I did like was that they made Deadpool have continuity to this with those necklaces, those power necklaces. Oh, that, yeah. Like, that was the only thing I was like, oh, cool. They like, I mean, they kind of made it fall in line when they had that little brief cameo in Deadpool 2, like in that one room and they like shut the doors.
Right.
But like this with those power collars, like I was like, oh, that's a beat from Deadpool. So like it kind of pulls Deadpool into the world a little bit. So at least like that's cool to know that he exists within that in that world. His movies are significantly better, but you know, I digress.
Yes. That's one of the parts of the X franchise that I hope maybe they retain. They pull Deadpool into the Marvel Universe
Kevin Feige said that I think it was him that said he's the first one to come over.
Yeah.
They already know what they want to do with him. So I don't know how he's necessarily going to work in the, I mean, obviously now that Disney owns him, whenever they make Deadpool 3, which would be stupid if they didn't because they don't cost a lot and they make a ton.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, obviously he's going to be able to start talking about those characters. I mean, obviously he called Josh Brolin Thanos in Deadpool 2. So,
yeah.
Like, his character never really gave a shit. But, like, now he can really acknowledge that there's, like, Avengers and all that stuff, like, all over the place. And you know, if a couple X people drop into his movies, like Colossus and Teenage Nagas, what was it? TJ Megasonic, longest name ever, as he calls her. That doesn't mean that there's like not like Avenger characters that can drop in. Like, I, you know, Ant-Man pops in for like 4 seconds and he's like, oh, hey, and you're like, that's the end of that. Or the Hulk. So, you know, I'm hoping, yeah, I don't even know. Like, the more, and now that I see this and I know that they did reshoots and they didn't care, like, I'm like, really worried about New Mutants.
What is the point?
I'm not even like worried about New Mutants in the sense that I'm like, oh no, they're gonna ruin like some story. It's just like, man, you guys are taking, like, when people make bad movies, like sometimes that hurts their career. Now I would hope that someone like Maisie Williams, if she is like the star of this movie, they can go, yeah, but she was also in Game of Thrones and she fucking ruled in Game of Thrones. Like, everyone makes one bad movie, but like, I know that bad movies can like kill people's careers.
Right.
As we were saying, the guy that directed this film is probably never going to be heard from ever again. Because I was like, what did he direct before? Because he's not directing anything next except for commercials for like, you know, Huggies. Like that's what he'll be directing. Like, Huggies commercials or like the Gus the PA Lottery, like, things. He'll be doing those commercials. So
he did Star Wars Rebels and the Twilight Zone. I guess he's working on the Twilight Zone.
Oh Christ, well, that episode's gonna be terrible. Well, you know, maybe it's not necessarily all his fault.
He's on New Mutants.
Oh, he's director of the New Mutants. Oh, well, that's great. So New Mutants is gonna have less enthusiasm out of me than this one, and I thought Apocalypse was trash. So when I hate this,
he's not
movie,
directing it though.
Was he just a producer?
Josh Boone.
Oh.
So he, Simon must be writing this, maybe. Oh. Producing it. He's producing it.
Well, he's still got some say. That's terrible. Uh-huh. That's unfortunate for that movie all
so
around.
So there are two things I thought were still good about this carried over from the other X film. I like that they kept the setting still in the, like, the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
This starts off in the 70s. You see some of Jean's backstory as a child, and then it picks back up at the beginning of the 90s, keeping in line with the time frame of starting with First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse. And the Charles Xavier being the bad guy, in a sense, is kind of consistent with what was going on in the comics at the time. I think he had relinquished leadership of the X-Men for a while and then comes back and is kind of cocky about taking over. Mm-hmm. Again, he makes some comments about the way things are being run in the comics. And I felt like there's some stuff that he's done in his past in this movie with training these kids that the team finds out.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily think he was the bad guy. I think it was just that they showed, you know, he lost sight. He became like an egomaniac. I mean, the villain clearly was Jessica Chastain and her, you know, band of Groots. But the, I did like that they kind of went that way. And I'm glad they didn't go, like, in a ridiculous manner that, say, like, you saw Rob Zombie's Halloween movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the second one, when they made Loomis, like, a total fucking, like, he was, like, the rock star, you know, like, and I'm glad they didn't, like, he was still Charles, like, and that is, maybe this is a little bit of, like, a testament to James McAvoy's acting, because he was able to blend that egomaniac with the Charles that still cares. Like, he's like, I still have a foundation, but my head is in the clouds right now.
Right.
And I can agree with you on that. Like, he sells that very well. And then when he has his turn, like, oh, I fucked up. That was, you know, like he sold that well, but he also has a lot of really bad dialogue. And then there's also, like I said, some unfortunate deliveries that he has that just, I felt like I was waiting for one of his glass split characters to like show up and do something.
The dialogue was just so bad. I couldn't even get into Sophie Turner because her dialogue was so bad. I kept waiting for, like, her face to crack and the fire to just come out.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like she was just reserved the whole time. Like, she's supposed to not be able to control this power, but it seemed like she was controlling it because she was just never breaking down until the end when she finally...
And she seemed like she had that one scene where she like really was like distraught and crying and trying to like to clean the blood off of herself. But other than that, like her character was like really flat the whole time. Yeah. Now I get that, like, you know, even like Famke Janssen's version of the Dark Phoenix was kind of like, but you saw in her face she would like contort it and get like pissed off.
Yeah.
Like Sophie Turner's face got a little sinister here and there, but ultimately, like when she wasn't like when the Phoenix wasn't coming out, so to speak, she was really like flat and like unemotional. Like were some of those like practice takes? Like did they like? I know that sometimes they use like, hey, we're gonna film this like practice take, and then they film like the real version, like the way that they want to do it, and then they're like, oh, we're gonna use the practice take because it was better. Like, I don't know. Like some of her, she seemed really stiff, and coming off of like Sansa Stark, and like she couldn't even play like. At no point was she even like a bitch. Like, and I don't mean to say that like derogatory, but like. She was, like, in Game of Thrones, like, those last two seasons when she was like, nah, fuck everyone. Like, I'm keeping the North. Like, and we're not bowing to this chick with a dragon. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, she had this, like, real, like, you could just, and like I said, I don't want to use this, like, term, like, you know, as derived, but she was just, like, she had some attitude behind her. And she was, like, not to be fucked with. And she didn't even, there were scenes in this movie that she should have done that. Or her character, it seemed like it was going in that direction. And she never did that. She just kind of was like, oh, here's my line. Next scene. Like,
exactly.
It just, I don't know, like, and even some of the action sequences, like on the train sequence was cool. And that was another connection to Deadpool, too. They were taking him to the, they're basically taking him to the cell on the same train. But, like, there's that scene where, like, the train starts, like, floating.
Yeah.
Like, it looked shitty. Like, right before that was a really cool Magneto moment that I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. And all of the, like, the Groots that run fast, like, I'm just going to keep calling them Groots, even though they're, like, they were clearly stunt people. Running, they looked awkward because they were trying to run fast, but you can tell that they were on wires when they were running. It didn't look, like, even the, like, they do that speed up run where someone runs really, really fast, and it's kind of, like, a little, like, weird looking in the... Captain America movies or whenever Captain America starts running, but it always, I don't know why Marvel can make that work and they couldn't. Like, because when these things start running, that you could, it looked like they were running in air, like on cables. Like, you could be like, where is the cable at? Like, I was waiting for like someone in the editing room to screw up and not take out edit out the cables.
The other thing about that train that suffers from like the Fast and the Furious effect, where like you have this car race that's supposed to be, you know, a mile long, and it's a 30-minute sequence.
Yeah.
So this train is we don't know where point A and point B is, but this story takes place in New York or something, I think. They're on this train, and they're like trying to get to the car where Gene is. The train is only what, 3 or 4 car, yeah, like train car lengths.
Yeah.
And you've got these aliens on the top that are running,
yeah,
for a 15-minute segment, 20-minute, yeah, segment of the movie. Like, how long does it take you to get there?
Yeah, also, like, I thought they were saying they were, like, 5 minutes out, and clearly it was, like...
Right.
As we said, there was, like, 15, 20 minutes of screen time that... or of a sequence that takes place, and you're like, wow, this train must have really slowed down. But, you know, those technical goofs are
yeah, weird
things. But... It just adds to the mess. But yeah, I'm yawning now because I was like, so well, this one was a rough one. So where do you rank this one? This one's gotta be the last one. This is gotta be the worst of the bunch.
This is the worst of the bunch. This, yeah, is like, I would have to go back and watch X-Men 3 to determine whether or not this was worse than that.
But yeah, and it's crazy because it's basically the same goddamn story. Or at least that they're focused around the same character.
It's two stories now that completely missed the Dark Phoenix story, and this one had the name.
Yeah, and hopefully the Disney goes, nah, that was it. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, like, you know, that whole thing, and they just stay away from the Dark Phoenix. Because there are so many cool things that they could do with X-Men. That they don't. And maybe in 50 years when they're like rebooting the whole entire thing and they're making another Avengers movie, maybe then you can visit, because it's been 50 years since the last time we did Dark Phoenix. But I just feel like there's too much other stuff now. Why waste it again?
Yeah.
There's all these other characters we haven't seen yet, like Gambit, Jubilee. Well, we saw Gambit in one of the Wolverine movies, but like, and Jubilee was like a character that like sat off to the side. But I remember them being like fan favorites because of the TV show when we were like kids. All right, so point of the mandate. Do you even tell people to bother to see this in the theaters, or like how should one see this film?
With their eyes closed.
So you're saying don't even bother with it.
I would. I mean, if you love these characters so much that you want to see them one more time before it gets rebooted when it enters the Marvel universe, check it out. I mean, maybe don't spend a lot of money to go see it in the film, maybe a Tuesday matinee somewhere if you can find one. But I am a little sad that, because I did love these characters. I talked about this beforehand. Those are my characters and stuff I started reading comics with. And I thought throughout this series the casting was pretty good.
The actors who they chose are good.
Of Professor X and Magneto's, Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Michael Fassbender, and McAvoy. Excellent choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was sad to see Logan was awesome. Did you see Logan?
Yeah, of course.
That was a fantastic
send-off. Logan's probably the best of all of the X-Men.
That was the
movies.
Best story, hands down. So to see that come to an end is sad. But unlike the way that I was sad about Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. That relationship coming to an end in the series, this was just like, oh, man, this should have been put to bed a long time ago.
Yeah. My mandate is you just skip it. Yeah. If you love these characters so much, don't watch them go out on a fucking low note. like, as you said, like, they have, throughout the X-Men movies, they've always picked, like, great actors to play characters. I mean, you can run the gauntlet of actors, like you said, McAvoy, Fassbender, Patrick Stewart, Sarah McKellen, Jennifer Lawrence, Nicholas Hoult, like, I think he's good. You have Kelsey Grammer in there, Famke Janssen. Yeah. You have Hugh Jackman. Even Rebecca Romijn was good. What's her Sookie Stackhouse's name? Anna Paquin, she's good. What is her name now? I can't remember. She played Kitty Pryde. I'm drawing a total blank on her name. It's sitting there right on the tip of my tongue. Someone who's listening to this is going to scream what her name is.
Ellen Page.
That's it, Ellen Page. Like, so you have all these, like, great actors that have been part... Oh, Halle Berry.
Yeah.
There's been all these great actors that have been part of this series. And, you know, a couple movies they got right, and there's a bunch of movies they got really, really wrong. And it's sad that, you know, it's the fucking X-Men. Like, I'm saying at this point, like, Apocalypse was bad. To me, Apocalypse was, you got your big baddie. The Jean found out she was the Phoenix. They defeated the big bad guy, the main threat. Be done with it.
Yeah.
I didn't like Apocalypse. I thought it was a pile of shit. But after watching this, Apocalypse is the much better ending because this movie was pointless. So I can't even recommend, if this movie, like, later on in life is on Showtime or even like TNT when it's edited, maybe they'll edit out the reshoots. That's when you should watch this film if there's nothing else on. But I'm sure there's something on. You could watch a rewatch a cricket match from 1986. And it would probably be more entertaining.
Just rewatch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, or that too. But yeah, to me, my mandate is flat out, don't ever watch this movie. It was that bad. So we're going to get out of here because now it is getting late. I want to thank Ken for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'll find another movie that I'll make you defend.
Awesome.
All right, until I have no idea what's next. Maybe it'll be Dead Won't Die, but I'm not quite sure. But stick around and I'll surprise you with something. From all of us at CinePunks and the Mandate, I thank you and I will see you when I see you.